You're listening to Rockers in Recovery Radio. If you'd like to find out more information, go to rockersinrecovery.com or Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Hey, hey, it's John Hollis. Welcome everybody to the show. Of course, you're listening to Rockers in Recovery, and a little bit about Rockers in Recovery is we are a media organization. We're dedicated to carrying the message of addiction recovery education, and we do that through music, news, events, and festivals taking place within and not limited to the clean and sober communities. If you're checking us out, you're either listening to us on rockersinrecovery.com or rockersinrecovery at Blog Talk. We want to thank everybody for tuning in, being a part of the show, and most importantly, helping us to stay sober and clean another day. We are here to be able to give a message of hope and most importantly, help people to understand that, there is help out there and that people move on with their life and there is life after addiction. We have our buddy David on with us tonight. David, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, John. How you doing? Good to hear your voice.
I love it, man. Good to hear yours too.
I'm really doing well. Hope you had a really nice Thanksgiving, and we certainly have a lot to be grateful for, don't we?
Yes, we do, man. Hey David, pronounce your last name for everyone, because I butcher it all the time.
Oh, it's okay. Everybody does. It's it looks a lot worse than it is. It's actually the first three letters are actually pronounced like an A-W-E. Ossakinnon. David Ossakinnon. So it's the crazy consonants of the Finnish language, and a U and an O throw people off, and understandably so that you're in America. But it's you could call me Dave, John. It's fine. So can all of you. You know, it's fine. You know.
Dave's been around Rockers in Recovery for a long time. I think we had you on the first show in 2009.
Great.
It's been cool.
A lot of fun. A lot of good stuff that you guys do down there. I love it.
Well, you know, it's an amazing thing. We're getting ready to come to Pennsylvania this year. We're going to be doing something in Wilkes-Barre in September and doing a festival up there. So we're looking forward to being there and going back to Maine again this year. So we got a lot of stuff going on. But
good.
I want to talk to you about there's a few things, and I'm sure you're aware of what's going on. I just seen you share some things on Facebook the other day.
It's brutal here. I mean, they have a real problem. Philadelphia, it's no longer, it's a worldwide problem. We're dealing with, the heroin, and lately, but in this area, there's been a surge in, just last week alone, there were 50 overdoses, and I don't know how many deaths, but it struck close to home because a friend of mine passed away last Wednesday. He relapsed after 2.5 years. I think he, as a lot of people do, he unfortunately decided to test the waters again and do whatever he was doing, and a couple months ago, and then there was a batch of heroin that had fentanyl and something else that's in there, and it killed him. And it's just really sad because of the wreckage that he creates around him. His memorial is very touching. A lot of people there, a lot of people in recovery were there. And his father told me, Dave, when you were working with him, he was a lot worse off. He was actually looking good but chipping away, and he just thought he could, just made a huge blunder, and it killed him, cost him his life, and created a wreckage of, his whole family is just so distraught right now. It's a rough deal.
It's, and as you said, it's across the country. They're trying to say right now it's 120 deaths a day nationwide. And, I talk with people every day, And there's, in August we had 267 over, or 263 overdoses in Miami-Dade County. The bottom line is that there's a whole lot more than 120 a day, and they're just not talking about it. And it's a scary thing.
When
you start looking at the young people that are involved with this, I mean, it's really, really devastating when you look at the young people. Hey, listen, yes, it's also taking its toll, and because it's not just the heroin epidemic. It's also the opioid epidemic that's killing off the people that are in their 60s and 70s. Because listen, when you grew up, David, I don't know about you, but I know for our family was, you know, hey, listen, a pill will, you know, cure everything. So just take a pill.
Yeah.
You know, go to the doctor,
yeah,
he'll give you a pill, you'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And lately, it's just of late, though, you know, they're just trying to combat that. I know the governor here in Pennsylvania signed a bill into I think they're pretty excited about passing right now and make pharmacies and doctors accountable for even more than what they have been. I know lately the laws have been moving in the direction of, you know, accountability and scrutinizing the area where they had to dispense this stuff. And so they keep a closer eye on it because, you know, whoever, you know, you think this is something you've given to somebody that's going to help them for pain, but a junkie always gets around it and people end up, you know, decide because it's so expensive. And they find their ways to using heroin, and it's a whole mess. It's really a mess.
Yeah. And I think it takes, you know, for myself, you know, I had 7 years of continuous sobriety, through a pain situation, I ended up going on some pain meds, and the next thing you know, I don't know about you, but I have that, you know, alcohol and drug addict dyslexia that goes from taking one every 6 hours to six every 1 hour.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, John, I'm a big fan of Mark Maron's. He's got a TV show and he's got a series on there, and he's in the program. And this guy, actually, there's an episode where he hurts his back and he takes, he decides, you know, I'll take the script. And next thing you know, he's reading the script where it says, like, take, you know, one every 4 hours. He's taking four every 1 hour, you know, reading it like a junkie would, you know. And it just shows him going from having a really nice house and cars to living in a storage unit with, you know, having to use a bucket for his bathroom. And it's just a freaking mess, and he loses everything. You know, it's just the same old story here, but if anybody's interested, the show is called Marin. It's really great. And they just, I was so blown away because they have it's funny as hell, but at the same time, it's a very dark story about like what happens to people when they pick up. And in his case, you know, he was lucky to get back into meetings and things like that. But it's not a good deal for guys like you and me. I mean, once we pick up, we're back into that rat race again. It's horrible.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, you know something, by the grace of God, I'm coming back up on a couple of years. But I got to tell you, it took a couple of years to get back. By the grace of God, people like yourself and, you know, of course, Lori, the CEO of Rockers in Recovery, and many other people, you know, they just got behind me and really supported me. And it was like turning the battleship around, man. One of the things that I really wanted to talk to you about, and it was a difficult thing, you know, after you have long-term recovery and you go out and you come back, it's a tough thing, man, to jump back in and not listen to the all the crap that goes on, you know. But let me add, me and you had talked a while back, and you know, I was going to write a blog in regards to some of the things that you'd went through. Can you tell a little bit of your story and let people know where you were at and what happened, where you're at now?
I can't tell you my whole story, but I'll give you a little synopsis on how it went as possible. But in 83, you know, like I grew up in the suburbs outside of Philadelphia, and, you know, no different than a lot of guys I used to hang around with, you know, keg parties and all that kind of thing. And, you know, I found in the 60s and 70s, like using the, you know, drinking and LSD and just the drugs that came around the neighborhood, what we had access to, you know, I was a very inquisitive kind of kid, you know, and trying things. And, you know, I didn't really think I was really different than anybody else in the neighborhood, you know, the same, I probably had a little case of ADD, and, you know, I wasn't always easily controlled, But I started working in bars at an early age, playing music when I was 16. The drinking age was 18 in New Jersey. And I was, you know, drinking and playing and up late, and sometimes I take something like speed or anything, something to help me through the next day. But just the kind of things I did, but never ever really thought I had any kind of problem with it. It never felt like I was addicted to it. It was at some point that I went over the line and in my 20s. But the crazy thing with me is my career as a musician was doing well in my early 20s. I got in the band that the Hooters that actually started doing pretty well as far as me gigs and making money, and that was constantly progressing while my life was going the other way, my personal life. I'd show up for gigs, but I was a bit of a train wreck, and eventually in 1983 I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. I went there, and I really didn't get sober till 86. For 3 years I was going to meetings, and I just was still not willing to commit or accept the fact that I was an alcoholic and an addict. And in 86, I went to treatment. And I went to treatment in Delaware City, Delaware. And I was there for 3 months. And this is right in when the Hooters were doing amazing. We were playing, I think we already played Live Aid, and we played Amnesty International, and we did some big shows. And after a tour in June, I went away for 3 months. I remember they let me out once to do a show in Cleveland. I got out, and I did that show, and I got out, what I did is, I got sober then. I probably could have gone to Hazleton or some really nice treatment center, but I didn't do that. I went to a place that, they did the job. It was like a low rent kind of place, which because of a friend of mine who appointed himself my sponsor before I went to this place, he happened to work at the detox. So he got me in. I stayed there 3 months. And when I got out, I went to meetings. I was a constant attender of meetings until I went on the road after 11 months sober, 11 months out of that place. And, if I wasn't traveling, if I was home, I was always getting to a meeting. I went to a lot of meetings for 5 years. I was going to meetings and then moved to California and stayed sober out there, and stayed sober for many years. And I think it was around 20 years. After 20 years, I was in Europe, and I wasn't making meetings as much. I wasn't staying in touch with my, my sponsor and things like that. And eventually, I wish I could tell you what was on my mind. It wasn't anything that was bad that was happening. Matter of fact, everything was good. Just decided it was a good thing to do, and it was like an insane choice I made, and picked up, and I had a year and a half of just as a lot of that are, in recovery, after you pick up your disease, you may not be using, but it progresses, it's like, I had no idea that I would be worse off than when I picked up than I was when I stopped years ago. And I was very lucky to get back into AA. It was like the last thing I thought of, but it was the first thing that saved my ass, Mm-hmm. I went back to AA in San Diego, California, and I got sober. And I stayed sober for, I got sober there. I stayed sober for a lot of years. And I always say a lot of years. It was like, I think about 6-7 years into it, I had a hip replacement. And I was never a pill head, never about that kind of stuff. And then, I was introduced to the opiates, and I liked them, and I took way too many. And next thing I was addicted to them again, and I had to get honest with that. And, fortunately, because I was going to meetings at the time, a couple guys called me out on it, and they just said that you didn't look right, you didn't sound right, which is something that happens if you make yourself, if you're going to meetings, people get to know you. And then I just eventually got honest with that, and started traveling and touring and doing what I do. But it was a steep price to pay, picking up. When I say I pick up, you know, a lot of you know, when you do, you lose a lot. And, you know, I certainly, you know, went through the financial hits that you take when things like that happen. And fortunately, you know, I got sober. I met a wonderful gal, my fiance, and she put Humpty Dumpty together again, like AA did. And so now I'm kind of living the dream again, and I'm the only one that can mess it up. I was at a meeting today. I said it. I said, like, I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict, and I'm the problem. So if I just kind of if I adhere to that, I'll be in good shape. You know, day at a time, as they say, John.
David, you're the best, man. And, you know, something to hear your story gives me hope. Because, you know, something,
yeah,
man, there's a lot of people out there that go through what we both have gone through. And I think, you know, people need to hear that, you know, listen, it happens, but you can,
yeah,
you can get back. But most importantly, you have to really dedicate yourself back to it again.
Yeah, John, you know, exactly. Look, I was at a meeting today, and the guy that sponsors me has been sober for 38 years, and he never picked up again. You know, he got to the program, and he never picked up. There's a lot of people that come in, and they never go back out again. You know, they learn the lesson the first time. You know, me, I just, for whatever reason, it called me, and I made a bad choice, and all you got to do is make that one bad choice, and then it just starts the wheels turning, and I'm doing things that are really not good for me, and my own worst enemy. And I say it today, you know, I got a bit of a bad head. If I don't go to a meeting to get myself straight and understand what my primary purpose is, man, I'm off the rails, you know. So it does help me. Believe it, as you know, it's more than just not drinking and drugging. There's a lot of things you got to do to get yourself together, and that's probably some things that I didn't do the first time around or the second time around. This time, it's I like to live a life where I'm, you know, free of those kinds of burdens. You know,
I just spoke with somebody about this earlier this month, at the beginning of the month, and we were talking about the fact that when I don't make meetings, how insane I get. You give me 2 weeks without making a meeting, and
yeah,
I'm totally out of my mind. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So
oh,
if I'm not engaging, man, and I'm not letting people know where I'm at, and I'm not hitting meetings, you know, it's funny. I don't know about you. I started to incorporate some other things into my recovery too. You know, and you know, outside help was one of them. But going back to church for me was a huge thing, man. I had a resentment there for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was part of my whole, you know, I can control everything. God, don't worry about nothing. I got it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Incorporating all of those things.
It's tough for an alcoholic and an addict to ask for help, to be honest with you. You know, for some reason, it's that we're, you know, one of the things I used to hear, like, old-timers say early on, I remember they would say, you know, be good to yourself. What the hell is that, you know? Like, I didn't know, you know, and being good to yourself is sometimes seeing somebody that, you know what I mean, and say, look, you know, I'm having some trouble, and, you know, and just talking to somebody, it takes a big weight off your shoulders, you know?
I think the
world is a complicated place, to be honest with
you.
You know, and it's really not always that easy to maneuver through all the crap that's out there, you know. And so, you know, I think in a lot of ways that I never even looked at how fortunate we are to be able to go to a meeting, to be able to unload some of the stuff that we, you know, carry around. You know, we're really the fortunate ones, John, that we get a chance to do that, you know. There's a lot of people out there that never even decided to drink and drug, and they don't have any problems. We just got that little monkey on our back, and it's like, you know, we got to keep in check, you know.
Yeah, and helping others. I mean, I've always found, and they said this to me a long time ago, man, if you're really jammed up, get out of yourself by helping somebody else. And, you know, I found that, you know, working with, like you were just talking about, you know, we can't predict an outcome or what's going to happen, but if we're there and we make ourselves available, that's what I believe that my higher power expects me to do, you know, to be able to give back what was freely given to me. So I think that, you know, listening to your story and how we started out, you know, we can, you know, hey, listen, the amazing part is, and this is what I know to be true about recovery, is that any given day, if I don't do the things necessary for my recovery, I can end up just like the person that you were talking about at the very beginning of this show. So I don't think anybody's immune.
And what a great guy he was, you know. I mean, I got to know him, and he'd come from a great family, and it was never something that, you know, he didn't have. He had all the privileges of anybody with that. You know, he could have done anything he wanted. The kid was super talented, great attitude. He just had that horrible. He was an addict and an alcoholic, and that was his problem. And you know, it just really, really sad that, you know, that he picked up. And then second of all, there was something out there that, like, just you know, took him down, you know. So, you know, I know his father just told me that he wants to do something in his name to help other people. He doesn't want his death to go in vain, and he wants to do something really that he could remember him by, because he was a great guy, you know. Mm-hmm. And but unfortunately, there's a lot of great guys that, you know, carry this disease of addiction with them, and you know, they pay the high price when they don't do what they have to do, you know.
Dave, I want to, again, thank you for being on.
John, thanks for having me on, man. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, you know. It's funny, when you first told me, you said 10 o'clock. I said, yeah, I can do it at 10 o'clock. And then it was 10 o'clock at night. You know, I'm an old guy.
Yeah, you were thinking like 10 a.m., right?
It's a lot of fun, bud, man. Hey, I'm off to Sweden in a few weeks to play with the Hooters, and I got a show with In the Pocket on January 25th that I'm excited about. So life is good, you know. Where things are really, really good in my life, and you know, I got nothing to complain about.
Songsinthepocket.org, correct? Is that where people can go?
Yes, songsinthepocket.org is where you can check out what I'm doing. You can go to Hooters Music. You can go check that out and, you know, see what we're up to. So a lot of good things happening there. And I'm just, again, like I said, a really lucky guy to have the life that I do, you know. And I can really mess it up by not going to meetings. Picking up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. David, thank you, man. You know, listen, this is about keeping it green and carrying a message, and you helped us do that tonight.
You got it, buddy. You take care.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, John.
Yep. All right, guys, there you go. David's a great guy, great message. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, being a part of Rockers in Recovery. And again, Rockers in Recovery is a media organization that is dedicated to carrying the message of addiction recovery education. We do it through music, news, events, and festivals taking place within and not limited to the clean and sober community. If you want to check out more information, you can go to rockersinrecovery.com, click on the About tab up top. Also coming up here shortly, we have the Rockers in Recovery Free Community Music Festival, February 11th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at C.V. Smith Park. You can go to rockersinrecovery.com and find out more information about that. I want to thank tonight's sponsors, Clearbrook Treatment Centers, Rehab Nexus, The Shores Treatment and Recovery, and Phoenix Rising of California. Those guys make it possible for us to be on the air and, of course, have the radio station streaming live. You can listen to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just by going to rockersinrecovery.com and click on the banner on the right-hand side that says Listen Live. Thank you again for tuning in, being a part of the show. We want to thank everybody. Have a rocking weekend and have a great week.
it's all on my